From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. No one will face criminal charges in the destruction of CIA interrogation videotapes in 2005. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports the decision comes after years of investigation.
The tapes depicted interrogations of high-value terrorism suspects in their early years of the Bush administration's fight against al-Qaeda. CIA Operations Chief Jose Rodriguez ordered the tapes destroyed in November 2005, eventually igniting a criminal investigation by a special prosecutor. That prosecutor, John Durham, has determined there's not enough evidence to bring criminal charges over the tapes' destruction. But he's continuing to investigate whether CIA interrogators may have lied about the activity or went outside the bounds of the law in some of their detainee interrogations. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
The man accused of plotting an attack on Washington, D.C.'s Metro Rail system is pleading not guilty. Farouk Ahmed was arraigned today just outside D.C., a month after his arrest in what turned out to be a sting operation. Authorities say Ahmed thought he was working with members of al-Qaeda. According to court documents released today, agents searched Ahmed's Ashburn home and found a recording of a lecture from Anwar al-Awlaki, a Muslim cleric linked to last year's shooting at the Fort Hood Army Post. The Pentagon is apparently still baffled by what may have been a missile launch caught on tape by KCBS chopper off the Los Angeles coast yesterday. Colonel David Lappin says there is no evidence the Department of Defense was involved.
Nobody within the Department of Defense that we've reached out to has been able to explain what this contrail is, where it came from.
Lappin says typically a sea launch would require several layers of notification to airmen and mariners. It would also prompt the closure of airspace in the area. The explosion at BP's Deepwater Horizon well not only presented the company with an environmental crisis, but also a crisis of confidence that the oil giant would financially survive. As Larry Miller reports from London, the former BP CEO says lines of credit dried up and capital markets stopped lending.
Tony Hayward describes it as a classic financial crisis and frightening days for BP. In his first interview since stepping down, Hayward told the BBC the oil company wasn't prepared for the media reaction after the well blew.
The network anchors had descended on BP in Louisiana. And it was an enormous feeding frenzy.
Hayward concedes he handled the pressure badly, making a number of regrettable gaffes. He also admits BP's contingency plans were inadequate and made up day to day, even though behind the scenes, he says, extraordinary engineering was going on. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down more than 50 points now at 11,354. From Washington, this is NPR News. Since Halliburton won't voluntarily say what chemicals it used in a controversial drilling practice, the Environmental Protection Agency has subpoenaed the energy giant. The EPA is studying whether the technique called hydraulic fracturing affects public health. The agency says a technique involves injecting lots of water, sand, and chemicals underground to force open channels in rock and sand formations and allow oil and natural gas flow. The only Senate race left undecided following last week's election is the one in Alaska, where incumbent Senator Lisa Murkowski waged a writing campaign after losing the Republican primary. NPR's Giles Snyder reports a clearer picture of that contest could begin emerging this week.
Initial returns show write-in ballots hold a more than 13,000 vote edge over Joe Miller, the Tea Party-backed candidate who is the GOP's official nominee. Most of the write-ins, there were more than 83,000 cast, are expected to be Murkowski votes, which would give her another Senate term. But just how many really are is still in question. Election workers will begin finding that out this week when they begin opening them. Miller says it's premature to assume Murkowski is the winner. He says he's cautiously optimistic that the more than 30,000 absentee ballots being counted will help close the gap. Both sides are gearing up for possible court challenges. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
Inventories at the wholesale level are up for the ninth month in a row. The Commerce Department says a 1.5% gain in September came out, much bigger than what analysts were expecting. Sales also rose in September for the third consecutive month. The Dow's now down 50 at 11,357. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.